We will turn to 1 Kings chapter 3, and we're going to start with verse 16, just so we get the entire story. We'll read a few verses. So let's begin. Now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, "O my lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth, and we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while my maidservant slept and laid him in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I examined him in the morning, indeed he was not my son whom I had born." The other woman said, "No, but the living one is my son and the dead one is your son." And the first woman said, "No, but the dead one is your son and the living one is my son." Thus they spoke to the king. And the king said, "The one says, 'This is my son who lives,' and your son is the dead one. And the other one says, 'No, but your son is the dead one and my son is the living one.' Then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, 'Divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other.' The woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son, and she said, 'O my lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him.' But the other said, 'Let him neither be mine nor yours, but divide him.' So the king answered and said, 'Give the first woman the living child and by no means kill him. She is his mother.' And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice." It's a long story. We all know that story. And it is something that I believe God wants to minister to us today, because there is relevance to it. This is a little loud. Thank you. And because there is meaning for our lives today. Could you imagine this scene? Here's two women, one of them the real mother. They come before the king, and the real mother must have thought, "Well, this will get me justice." She must have had in her mind, "I will get back my son because that's right." And then when she goes, I can imagine, the Bible doesn't say, but if we were in that position and you make your case, and then all of a sudden the king says, "Go get the sword because we're going to divide the child in half." If that were me standing before the king, I could imagine that there would be a gasp that comes. "We're going to divide the child in half? Is this justice? Is this what's right?" And I can imagine what's going through her mind. Sometimes the same things that go through our minds. When we bring something before our king, the great judge, when we bring something that's perplexing to us, and instead of things getting better, sometimes they get worse, it seems. And I can imagine this is what's going through her mind. "I should have never come here. I should have never let the king hear this. I should not have brought the case before the king, because now it's just made it worse. Look at how bad things are getting. My son is going to die." And sometimes I think this is the way we feel when we're in the middle of something difficult and we've gone before God. And we expect change immediately, and instead of change, things look like they get worse. And here is this woman that is pleading for her son, and now she's thinking, "I've just killed him. My coming to get the justice has just sealed his death." And there was a gasp, I would imagine,
How could there not be? But even if there wasn't, it seems like it's a good place for a gasp. But then in verse 26, we begin to see how God works very often. He works in this situation. And I know I spoke on this a couple weeks ago, but it's throughout the whole Bible that God takes one situation and he begins to reveal the hearts of those that are in it. In this one situation, the woman who was the real mother, she has compassion on the child. She has compassion on the child. Her heart is revealed. And really, that is what Solomon, because this is Solomon, by the way, he's looking for the heart to be revealed. And it's shown so clearly in this place that the heart is revealed. She actually comes to this place, and sometimes God brings us to these places as well, where she's basically like, I'm going to give up. I'm going to give up what I'm hoping for. She's like, I want justice for my son. I want my son, but I'd rather have him live. I want what I want, but I'd rather have him live than give it. She was basically looking to like end her dream, so to speak. End something that she wants. I want my son. I have plans for my son. I love him even though he's just a couple of days old. I love him and I want him, but I'm going to give him up. And she comes to that place out of her compassion and says, I will give him up. It is better to do that than to see him die. And her heart is revealed in this case. And she doesn't realize, many times as we don't realize, as we come before the king and maybe things get worse and we wonder how it's ever going to work out and how will it ever be, how will it ever get better, and how can such a bad situation be ever turned around? There is this unknown and unseen wisdom that God has and he possesses, where he is able to turn situations around, and he is able to take what looks impossible and make it possible and turn things around just on an instant. And I'm so glad that we serve a God that is like that, that he is much smarter and much higher than us, and he can take what looks like an impossible situation and make it a possible situation. And many of us are not in the case where we have a child before the Lord, but many of us have, in a sense, spiritual things, spiritual little babies before God. We have something that is important to us. It might be a spiritual thing. It might even be a natural thing. We have the little baby before God, and it looks like that baby is going to die. But God's just looking for our hearts in the matter. And God is exposing the hearts of all around, because then he sees the heart of the other woman, the woman who stole the baby, and he sees her heart and she says, I'll let the kid die. And the hearts of everyone involved were exposed, just as God does so often in our lives. Through one situation, he exposes what's going on in the hearts of all that are involved, because he's working all things together for good. He's able to do that. He's able to do amazing things. He's able to take one situation and work out so many things in all of us. We can't even imagine how smart and how brilliant that is, but we serve that kind of a God. And sometimes we just wonder. We wonder about God's judgments, and that's the word that God put in my heart. The judgments of God sometimes are confusing to us. And the last verse that we read talks about how Israel heard the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king. They heard the judgment of God, and sometimes we, as the people of God, we won't understand the judgment of God, especially when we're in the middle of it. When that woman heard her son was going to be killed, I'm sure she didn't understand why this was the case, why this had to be. See, the king understood what was going on. The king has this wide view of things. Our king has an eternal view of things. We have this little slice of time, this little here and now understanding of what's going on, but God has the big picture in mind. And he knows what's coming, and he knows what he's doing, and he knows how to bring something to pass, even though we can't see it happening. And the question is, do we agree with his judgments of what he's putting us through and what he's allowing in our lives and what is going on around us, even when we think it's not fair? Do we agree with his judgments even in those cases? Do we agree with the judgments of God even when we don't understand? Do we agree with the plan that he's got us in? Do we agree with the things? We might say, well, I'm just trying to do what's right. I'm just trying to do good things. I'm not trying to be bad. I'm trying to do things of God, and I'm trying to follow his way, but yet your situation might not be getting any better. In that situation, can we say, I agree with what God is doing? Can we agree with the judgments of God when we do not understand what's happening? I know I've told you this story before. I'll tell you again because it's very relevant for right now. It's around 4 years ago at this point, and I was more fit than I am now, and I was actually training myself in my mind. I wanted to run in a triathlon. Why? I don't know. Sometimes I just like torturing myself, so I wanted to do this. And so I was running, and I was running long distances, and then all of a sudden I developed an injury in my foot, and so I couldn't run. And so then I said, okay, fine, there's two other things to do. I could do these other two things. And then I started swimming. And then after I started swimming long distance, I developed a shoulder injury. And so now I have a foot injury and I can't run, and I have a shoulder injury and I can't swim. And I was frustrated, and I was frustrated at God. Because I would say, I'm just trying to do good things. When I'm running, all I'm doing is listening to preachings. When I'm swimming, believe it or not, I'm praying. My face is at the bottom of the pool, and I'm just praying. And I'm saying, I'm just doing good things. I'm not doing anything bad. I'm trying to take care of the temple of God. I'm just doing something good. And why do I seem like I'm being resisted? And I was frustrated at that time. And then I remember even having a conversation with my wife, and that's a memorable conversation in our house because of what ensued a few months later. And I told her, I'm just frustrated. I don't understand. And then the doctor tells me a couple months later, actually tells my wife, said if he would have continued on the path that he was on, you would have found him dead in some field somewhere. Or somebody would have found him. And my level of trust in God, because I had this brain tumor, and so it was massive, and I was pushing my body to places where it shouldn't have been pushed, especially with something that large growing. And my level of trust went through the roof for God. Because here I was, thinking he was not fair, thinking it was kind of cruel, and he was just saving my life. His judgment was right, and my judgment was wrong. His judgment was for my good, and I couldn't see it because I was in the middle of the situation, just like the woman whose baby was about to get cut in half was in the middle of it. I can't imagine her saying, well, this seems like a good idea. And sometimes we say the same thing. It doesn't look like the plan that God has is such a good plan here. I could make up such a better plan. But yet his plan is a good one. And can we say in the middle of all that we're going through, God's judgment is good. Even when we don't get it, even when it makes no sense, can we say God's judgment is good? What he's doing is good. And that is not an easy thing to do. But this is where God wants us to be, because understanding and trusting him is just that. It's a matter of trust. Do we trust who he is? And do we trust his love for us? And do we trust that his word is true, that it says, I have a good plan for you. I don't have a plan that's bad. I have a good plan for you. Do we trust that? Or would we rather take things on ourselves and say, I can handle this, God. Don't need your help. I have a better plan than what you have. I'm not talking about when we get ourselves into messes. I'm not talking about when we decide to do things and then plans go wrong. I'm not talking about those things. Because, yes, there are consequences when we do things wrong. If we don't follow God's plan, yes, we do get ourselves into messes. But I'm talking about those who are trying to follow hard after God, and then things don't necessarily go your way, and then you wonder why. It's at those places, can we say that we trust God? It's at those places where it's very difficult to say that we could trust God, but this is what God wants of us, because this shows that we believe in him when we don't even understand. And many times we see throughout, especially the Old Testament, that this is what he required. When you don't understand, do you still trust me? When the Israelites were wandering through the wilderness over and over, it said that God is examining them for, do they trust him even when they don't get what's going on? And God does that same thing to us. It's a matter of trusting his plan and his goodness. You know, there are times I work with many people that are very brilliant, and there are some people that you work with that you just know they're so out there that whatever they say is usually right, and you just follow them sometimes. It often happens. The situation that I work in, if we get a call and there's a problem that's going on in the field, so in, for instance, you guys would be experiencing being a problem, we get that call and we're immediately on the clock. We're immediately on the clock. If we don't solve certain problems within the first hour, there's an enormous penalty. Enormous penalties. You know, we're talking 7-digit penalties if we don't solve things in an hour. And so the pressure goes through the roof when that happens. There's usually an immediate conference call, and there's usually questions flying all over the place and people asking for impossible things to be done in a second. And so there are times when it's really nice to have one of those really smart people around. And even if you don't understand what they tell you to do, you just do it. It's like this is not the time to ask why. You just do it. And sometimes I find myself just doing whatever they say. I don't quite get it. I'll ask later. But because I know they're so smart, I'm just going to trust them. They know what they're doing. I'm just going to do what they say to do because I believe that they know what's going on. And this is the way we have to put our faith in God. We might not understand everything. You might want to ask all kinds of questions. But God's saying, will you just do it? Because if you do, you are showing that you trust who he is. And his word tells us that his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. As the heavens are higher above the earth, so are his ways above our ways and his thoughts above our thoughts. He is so far above us that we cannot even comprehend who he is and how great he is. There's a verse in Romans. I will turn there. It's Romans 11:33. It says this. It says, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past finding out. This is kind of the New Testament version of this last verse in 1 Kings, where it says that they all heard of the judgment of the king. They feared the king. And they saw that the wisdom of God was with him to administer justice. This verse in Romans says that, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. Are we good with God's judgments? Do we agree with God's judgments? Do we agree with what he's doing in our lives, even though we don't understand it? It's that New Testament equivalent. His ways are past finding out. We can't possibly understand everything that he's considering. We can't possibly handle all of the variables that he's juggling. We can't possibly grasp our minds, our little finite minds, around everything that God is considering. His ways are past finding out. His judgments are right, even though we can't understand them every time. There's a verse in Psalms. Why don't you turn to Psalms? Psalms 19. Psalms 19 and verse 9. It says this: the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than fine gold, or than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Do we actually treat the judgments of God at all times as if they were greater than gold, greater than fine gold? There is a level of trust that goes along with believing God at this level. His judgments are true, and they are righteous, and they are to be desired more than gold, yea, more than fine gold. God wants us to have that kind of trust in him. He wants us to believe in him, not because we have blind faith, but because we know who his character is, because we know who he is. We have a history with God, and we know that he is good. It is not just this blind faith. It is a faith that is built on years often of believing God, of seeing ourselves through troubles. And then the next trouble comes. When the first trouble ends and we say, okay, yes, my baby is not going to be cut in half. He's going to be restored to me, because God always has that plan to be able and the ability to restore to us. And after we go through one situation where things are restored to us, the next time it comes around, it seems like we have the struggle where we're at the same place again, and we say, oh my goodness, again, and the gasp goes up again. And our history in God should bolster us and make us more resilient to the temptation to think that his judgments are not good. But many times we're right back at the same place and we say, I don't know how we could get out of it. I don't know how it could end. I don't know how anything good could come out of this. And God's looking for a people who say, his judgments are good. They're right and they're true. They're better to be desired than gold. I'd rather have gold. I'd rather have his judgments than to have gold. His ways, they're past finding out. Sometimes we go through things and we say, how did he do that? I don't know how it happened. I don't know how it turned around. The situation was so bad and all of a sudden it turned around. How did that happen? It was going so bad. How did this happen? I was even going through something this last week. There was a problem that I had at work, and it was just one of those things. It was difficult, and I couldn't figure it out, and I spent a week on one problem. I spent a week trying to figure something out, and that's very rare that we get the time to do that, and I was way behind schedule. And I was at a loss. I was really that at that place. I was like, all right, I can't do it. I actually told the person that I work for, I was like, I can't figure it out. And then it was somewhere in the night where I had the thought, okay, try this one thing. And I tried one thing, and I told a friend of mine at work, and he said something. And then all of a sudden, it went from impossible to done. Jesus. Because that's the way his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our. Sometimes I think we're like we come to God, and it's like trying to explain quantum mechanics to a caveman. You just can't do it. It's like this is so out there, and this is the capacity to understand is so small. And sometimes I feel like that caveman trying to understand something that's so far beyond me. And this is the way God is. He is so far above us, and his judgments are right and they are true. We won't read it, but in Revelations, there are several places where God is doing, where he's pouring out judgments. And these are bad judgments. These are bad things that are happening at the end of the age. And in a couple of places, it says that the people around God are saying, your judgments are right. Your judgments are true. Your judgments are just. And in those situations where such bad things are happening, for people to just believe that God's plan is the right plan, God wants the same kind of spirit in us. Whatever is happening, not the things that we get ourselves into, not the things that we mess up, but the things that we know that we are in the place that we have done all and now we're standing. God wants to know if we are a people who will say, your judgments are right and your judgments are true, and I will believe in you and I will trust in you even though I don't understand. With his grace, with his help, we can be a people that do this. Without his grace, it seems impossible. With his grace, all things are possible. May we be a people that can do that. His name be praised.